Thank you so much, Samuji. Somebody said, you know, in my younger days, I come to church like this. I just preach, and then everybody go home. But I'm coming to see that when we get to church like this, there are different needs. There are different issues. And no one pastor can cover everything. Let me show you an example. Mark 6. Take a look at verse 34. Mark 6. Everybody, can you look at this verse? This is Jesus having a church service. This is Jesus having a church service. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to do what? See, a lot of time, that's why I don't like church where you just take one topic forever. You know, I like different areas to be dealt with. That's what church is. That you come to church, you get your needs met. And right now, I'm glad I'm not the only one preaching at our church. Do you know why I proved that? Jesus had 12 men to preach in one church in Jerusalem. So they could cover so many parts. This morning, we've covered so many parts. And my wife will just come and talk to us about our pillars for this year and for years to come. We're not talking about pillars. Somebody remember our pillars? James. Is it Peter, James, and John? So we are going to, since we've been talking. Oh, you're doing something else. I told you that you are free this week. So let's see what God will tell us today from the pillars. Let's welcome my wife. Praise God. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Okay. This is your home. This is my home.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many people are excited to be in church today? Shout hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 15. Let's start from there. Book of John. Right. Book of John chapter 15. From verse 5, it says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And look at verse 8. It says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you'll be my disciples. We are in a new year. 2024. Nobody has lived it before. But if there's anything I feel or I think everyone wants is to make progress and bear fruit this year. Do I have a witness in the house? To make progress spiritually, to make progress in your career, make progress in your marriage, in your home, make progress financially, make progress in your health. That's what Bible calls bearing fruits. And it says, your Father is glorified. He said, by this, Jesus started talking about the Father. My Father is glorified when you bear not just fruits, but much fruits. Much fruits. Much fruits. You have testimonies. You are making progress. God is happy about that because he's your Father. And that we're going to do, we're going to experience this year in the name of Jesus. Amen. So bear that fruit to make progress. Can we see what God wants us to do? In 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this is what God wants us to look at this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. It says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Give us next verse. We'll just read and talk. But it says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's go back to verse 19. It says, something stands sure. This is Rock Foundation Church. We are very particular about foundation. Because when your foundation is solid, it can carry so many things without breaking down. And one of the truths that you must understand about this Christian walk, following Jesus Christ, this is one of those things. It says, these times, having this seal, there's a seal, there's an approval of God on this. It says, the Lord knows those who are his. Let's start from there. It says, the Lord knows those who are what? Those who are his. That is, those who belong to him. That means not everybody belongs to God. Not everybody. When you're talking about those who belong to him, you're talking about those who are his family. Let's use that word. Those who are part of his body. Those who he can call my own. God, by the reason of creation, everybody belongs to God. By reason of just coming to this world, you belong to God. But when it comes to the family of God, when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the church of Christ, it's not everybody. It's not just everybody. But though God wants everybody to become that part of the family, that's why I say we should pray for all men. Because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But there are those who belong to him. And how do you belong to him? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul said this. Romans 10, 9. That's how you get to become part. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you get to become part of those who belong to God. A conscious decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's how you get to become part of those who are his. I said it's foundational. Let's start from there. You have confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not just about going to church. It's not just becoming a part of a ministry. Or you just join any set of people. No. It's a conscious decision that you make at one time or the other. And if you made it 10 years ago, it still stands. That you are part of it. If you made it 2 years ago, if you made it 2 months ago, you have become part of those who are his. That God reckons with and he calls them his own. The Lord knows those who are his. And that's how to become part of those who are his. When you come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you know, it's not just joining church. It's not just confess your sin. It's actually making, accepting that Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. You dictate what I do. You dictate how I live. I want to follow you. That's where it starts from. Becoming part of those who are his. If you are part of those who are his, then you must live in the consciousness that you belong to God. Hello. You must live with that consciousness. You must Know that consciousness the way you know your name, that I am of God. I belong to God. I belong to Him. You know, there was a time Apostle Paul was on the sea, having trouble on the sea. There was they traveled, they shouldn't have traveled, and there was trouble. In Acts chapter 27, he made this bold pronouncement concerning himself. Acts 27, look at verse 14. We are going to face things, we are going to go through issues in the course of the year. We are going to face things. But knowing whose you are makes a lot of difference. It's going to make a lot of difference in your life, in your psyche, how you live. You know, in the course of the week, I was talking with a brother and he said, I can't imagine not knowing, not hearing what I'm hearing in church. That with all that is going on around us, in every way, in every form, I can't imagine not knowing, not hearing, not being exposed to the truth that we are here, we are exposed to in church. He said it has made a whole lot of difference in my life. Being able to stand, being able to withstand the pressure here and there. That's knowing whose you are. Paul said in Acts 27, did I miss the verse? Talking about God whose I am and whose I serve. He first of all put whose I am first. Praise God. Look at Acts 27. Let me look for the verse. Is it 33. Okay, thank you. All right. He said, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. To whom I what? To whom I belong and whom I serve. Let's carry that consciousness. I belong to God. I belong to God. I am of God. God is my Father. Yes, God knows those who are His. But you must also know whose you are. You know, we sing that song. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I know who I am. It's not only who I am, but also who I belong to. Because actually, the one you belong to is the one that made you who you are. It's by the virtue of belonging to God that you are who you are. Live in that consciousness as a husband this year. Live in that consciousness as a wife this year. It's not first of all about others. It's about me and my Father. I belong to God. Jesus is the Lord of my life. So whatever I have to do, whatever I need to do, I carry myself as a child of God. Belonging to God, having my existence in the Father, is going to change a whole lot of things. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. So, know that, he said, the foundation has two seals. 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we started, verse 19. He said, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Then the second part of that seal, he says, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. They are like two sides of the coin. I know who I am. I know whom I belong to. And he says, those who are named by that name, who call themselves, who recognize and see themselves as belongings to the Lord. They must do what? You are not talking now. They must do what? Depart from iniquity. What does it mean to depart? To break away from. To leave. If, you know, if you get to any airport, they have a lounge or a floor for what? Departure. Then another one for what? Arrival. If you don't depart, can you arrive? If you don't depart, you can't arrive somewhere else. But departing from zone A brings you to arrive somewhere else. And what is God saying to us? To depart from what? Iniquity. Some translation says from evil. Some say from wickedness. All of them, they have a common name, sin, unrighteousness. It says, all those who are named, or let everyone who names, who identifies, who says, I belong to God, I call God my Father, say, let them depart. Let them depart. To leave behind. To stay away from iniquity. Because iniquity has a way of causing your life to go in disarray as a child of God. Iniquity has a way of stopping us from arriving at where God intended for us. And that's why you must depart. That's why you must leave. That's why you must stop. Just everyone, no one left behind. Whether you got saved 20 years ago or 2 years ago, there's something that God expects from you and I as a member of the family, as somebody that belongs to God, to depart. And you know, that word depart is not something that you just do once and for all. It's something that you have to do regularly, consciously, to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And why is God telling us to depart? Look at the next verse. I've said this, that whatever God asks us to do is not for any personal gain. Ultimately, it's for your own good as a child of God. Ultimately, it's for you to be able to bear fruit and make progress in life and in your Christian journey. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for what? Dishonor. I'm sure if I ask each and every one of us now, which one do you want to be? What kind of vessel do you want to be in the family of God? For honor. Clap for yourself. At least you know what is good. For honor. Sis, in the same house, all of us in our houses, you know those things now. Maybe men may not know very well, but women know this. There are all kinds of vessels in the house. There are some that you use anyhow. And there are some that you keep for special occasions to showcase to your guests. There are some, well, I don't do so much of that. I don't keep things for guests. You know, I had this idea from when I was in school that Antichrist will come at any time. Jesus Christ will come. Rapture will occur. Antichrist will not come and unbelievers will not come and use my things. You know, there are some things that we keep and keep for years. Me, once in a while, I just go and bring them out. I say, this dishware, we are going to enjoy it now. I'm not keeping for, you know, you are keeping things for guests. And throughout the course of the year, no guests. Like that. So I bring them out once in a while. I say, oh yeah, family, especially for my husband. Let's enjoy it. Praise God. There are plastics in the house. You don't take care of them. But do you know, in the body of Christ, in the family of God, that's the same way we are. That's the same way. But unlike what they make us believe, to think that, oh, God chooses some special vessels. God had made some special people to do certain things. God made some people for honor and for some for dishonor. It's not God that makes. It's not God that determines that. Mm-mm. It's not God. Because you read the next verse, verse 21. It says, if anyone cleanses himself, you know, remember where we're coming from, departing from iniquity. If anyone cleanses or departs from me, it will be a vessel for honor. It will be a vessel for honor when you cleanse yourself, when you depart from iniquity. You say you'll be sanctified. I don't know why you're giving me New King James today. Can I have NLT? You should know I have made progress. Huh? What? I should ask them. Okay. Ask and you shall receive. He says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. How many of us will want that? That God will use you in your community. God will use you in your family. You'll be a better husband this year, a better wife this year, a better child this year, a better worker this year. So there's something that you have to do to cleanse yourself, to depart from iniquity, to consciously say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. You know, there's a way that sin finds acceptability and comfort within us because we have been doing it before. Before you gave your life to Christ, the way you talk, the way you reason, the way you use your hands, the way you use your mouth, the way you use what else? Your eyes, your ears. And we have gotten used to those things. But as a child of God, now belonging to God, you have to consciously drop and say those things. But do you know, the first evil that God wants us to depart from, you know, incidentally, Prof spoke so much about it this morning. I didn't know that was going to come ahead of me. So, thank God. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. That's one evil that we have to depart from. He says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. That's the first thing. That's the first form of evil that we must depart from, that we have to consciously. You know, it gets to a point in our lives, in the lives of believers, especially those ones who have been in the faith for some time, you think you can just do things on your own. Arrange things yourself. You know what to do. And you leave God out. In first service today, senior pastor was talking about King Asa. King Asa had trouble initially. He believed God. God came through for him. And years after, another trouble came up. And do you know what? Instead of going to God, instead of trusting in God, instead of relying on God, because that's what it means to believe, he made arrangements. He said, you, come, get money. And arranged for himself. And the prophet of God came, rebuked him, and he got mad. He got angry. That's evil heart of unbelief. He had departed from God. Things are going to happen. Cancer will come. People take some major steps. They do certain things without thinking about God. And that's the first evil that we must depart from. Things that will look so easy, that will look so, just do this and that. But they are outside believing God. He says, that's an evil heart. that you must depart from. That this year you're going to trust God. You're going to rely on God. You're going to wait on God to do things, to take steps. Don't think that it's just ordinary. Hey, it's just that surgery. It's just this. No, you're going to wait on God, hear God, trust God, and rely on Him. You know, God is particularly happy when He sees His children relying on Him. He's very happy. Just the same way you wouldn't want your children to just live their lives without your input. Live their lives as if you don't matter. If we actually say we belong to God, the first thing this year is to rely on Him, trust His word. Take those words. Husband, love your wife. Rely on that. Not on your flesh. Not on what your spouse is doing or is not doing. To rely on those words. You know, because relying on God's word is not just for finance. It's not just for help. It's for every aspect of our lives. If you don't trust God, you know, Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 4 or 5, it says, only women who trusted God submitted to their husbands. Have you ever seen that in your Bible? It says, only women who trusted God, submitted to their own husband. So it takes faith in love, submission. They are not just words. You have to take those words and believe them. Then you will see results. Praise the Lord. Then it says, the other side of iniquity, evil practices. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, my time is almost up. Bible talks about not using the members of our body. Romans chapter 6, take a look at verse 12. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your members there talking about your physical body, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your legs, every aspect, because we actually commit iniquity with all these things. Watching what you are not supposed to watch. Listening to what you are not supposed to listen to. Using your hands to do what you are not supposed to do. So we use our body in committing iniquity. In perpetuating iniquity. And God says, don't yield those members. Don't yield your eyes any longer. Don't yield your mouth any longer. Depart from that. And use them rather as members, as instruments of righteousness to God. Amen. That's how we're going to bear fruits and be useful, relevant vessels of honor to God this year and years to come. Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look at verse 31. Ephesians 4. It says, let all bitterness. You know, when we talk about using your hand, using your eyes, we think that, those ones are big sins. Hello. When you catch a brother that is smoking somewhere, that brother is smoking. We see those ones. Oh, that person is doing that. Something big. Oh, that man is going after girls. He's big. He's sin. Fine. He's iniquity. But as well as bitterness. Hello. Bitterness. These are sins that may not be obvious, but they are still iniquities. They are still wickedness. They are still evil. They are still things that will stop you from making progress and being fruitful as a child of God. He said, let all bitterness, give it to us in NLT. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Let's depart from them this year. You know, Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. There are some things that they may not even be here, but Holy Spirit will tell you that's evil. That's wickedness. They are not, to somebody else, it may not be anything big, but to you. And the more you listen to the Spirit of God inside of you, the more you yield, the more He purifies you, the more you depart, such that your life becomes better and better. It may just be a look at that person. And, you know, God is saying, that look. Not even to opposite sex now. That kind of look, that kind of heart, that kind of response. Those are what they call the sins of the saints, believers. Sins of the saints. The saints don't smoke. They don't, like Reverend would say, they don't smoke beer and they don't drink cigarettes. But you know what we do? Slander. You talk evil about somebody else. And when you see the person, how are you? You are departing. Tell your neighbor, we are departing from such. We are departing from such because our lives, we want to be vessels of honor unto our Father. He says, rather, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, go back there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, rather pursue. There's something that God wants us to pursue. He says, rather pursue. In verse, verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What does it mean to pursue? To go after, to be intentional. The same way you're going to be intentional about departing. I'm not just going to live my life the way I've been always living it. In iniquity, in wickedness, in sin. No. But I must pursue. They say, empty hands. What is it? Devil's workshop. So, it's not part of it is I will depart. But if I'm not pursuing something else, there's tendency for me to keep going back to what I used to. But I'm going to be intentional, pursue righteousness, to do things right in every way. Pursue faith. I want to believe God for what I've never believed God for. I want to see God in my life. It says pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue peace. Hebrew talks about pursuing holiness, without which no man can see God. To go after it intentionally this year. And we're going to bear fruits. And we'll become vessels of honor that God will be able to pour His grace upon. Pour His power upon. Pour so much abundance upon that your life becomes a blessing to everybody all around you. Starting from your home. To the church, to the community, to your place of work. And people will want to reckon with you. That's the word of the Lord for us today. Can you bow down your heads and pray? Can you ask? First of all, let's thank God. If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, thank God. Because it cost Him His own life to give you that privilege. Can you appreciate Jesus this morning? And thank Him again. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you because I know I belong to you, Father. Can you just thank God this morning? Say, I belong to you. I am of God. I belong to God. Thank you, Father, for your spirit inside of me. And thank you, Lord, because you help me day by day. Can you pray this morning? You know the things that you need to depart from, that you need to consciously lay aside. Can you just tell God, say, God, I purpose in my heart this morning. I'm going to depart from this. I'm going to leave this. This is going to decrease in my life by your grace, by your power. I'm going to become a better vessel.
Thank you, Lord. Our dear Father, thank you. Because every day, you want us to be like you. Your Holy Father, righteous Father. I thank you for taking us to a particular place this year where people can look at us and see your reflection in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. I'm glad I'm in church today. I'm really happy that I'm hearing all this from every angle. I love that. But can I drop this as we round up this teaching? I was telling my wife, usually things we talk about at home, we don't talk about in church. Sometimes somebody will misbehave. Maybe a husband misbehave. Now tell my wife, watch. He has been provoked by the other person. Have you ever had children say, Daddy, he beat me. Then you go and beat the other person. But actually, you should go and check. Let's look at chapter 5, Galatians, verse 26. Round up this teaching. The last verse in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I love it the way he put it. Take a look. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. I don't know what NLT says, but it sounds like it too. This applies to us. What does it say in NLT? It's saying the same thing. Okay, beautiful. Let's not become conceited. Some of you over here, you know the reason why you are in church over here? I'm not proud. I'm not, I don't carry myself anyhow. That can make you not to be proud to yourself. Have you ever gone somewhere before? Everybody do like this. What happened to you too? Your shoulder go like this too. Am I right? The atmosphere sometimes can bring people to either better condition or worse condition. The atmosphere of love will provoke love. Nobody is actually evil fully except the devil. So I want to plead with you. Don't provoke. This new year, don't provoke your wife. Don't provoke your children. Don't provoke your husband. Don't make him say, oh, see, he slapped me. When I heard that woman say that, he might say, ah, let's go to police. But actually, something will have provoked the man to take his hands and boosha. But, woman abuse. But has been a husband abuse plenty before. That is not shown by hand. So, provoking. Don't make people come out with their worst this year. I can make my wife come out with her worst at home. Where's my food? This food, I don't like it. I'll be giving... What is this you do? See, we have to defend ourselves. And say, dear, I gave you food yesterday. And then next thing, so close, you know? You know, people are provoked. People are telling everybody, I know you are normal. But you can go berserk. So I won't provoke you this year. Come on, hallelujah. I won't provoke you this year. I won't provoke you, you know? So please, mark that word. Don't provoke. Don't provoke. That's part of the flesh. Don't provoke. Hallelujah. We're going to give our offering now. And the choir will come and sing. I just like today. I'm just the MC of the church. I like that. I like to just be MC. You know. So we're going to give our offering now. Can I? What is it over there? Third service. Oh, that's my work. Okay, you know. I just enjoy sitting down, just be blessed. I think I'm the only pastor in town that will get blessed in this church. People preach and listen, and I get, all right, great. Now, we're going to give our offering our tithe. The blue envelope is for our offering. If you want to give your tithe, just lift up your hand and give you the red envelope, and then you can give your tithe. Let's pray. Our dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring our offering, our tithe before you. Lord, you just heard that our financial life matters to you, and the widow with the mite. So whatever we are giving today, we know it's a sacrifice, and we ask that as you notice it, thank you for the blessing upon our lives. Thank you for helping us financially in every way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before they sing, I need some help. Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? We are turning our church to fully solar. The diesel thing is crazy. I mean, to run the service is about around 100,000 naira. Put together for a week. That's a whole lot of money. In a year, for Sunday service alone, will be 5.2 million. So what we are doing now is to turn everything to solar. And solar has really been, we are on solar since. And then we just, if you see, somebody just gave money to do the walkway so you can walk outside the sun and walk through. Now, we are putting solar panels on it. But I was just told that we need to do the new building where the children are, and we needed extra battery for that place and some set of solar panels. Now, we bought that same battery for 50,000 naira a couple of months ago. As of Friday, they said to me, it is 900,000 now. Why are you doing that? Are you not living in Nigeria? It's normal, we are living in Nigeria. Barely. And so we need about 1.5 million to get through. Now, if you can help us, by the way, we have spent just about 3 million in this new year to put the solar to where it is now. So we need that final part. So any way you can help us, we'll appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's have the choir sing. And then we are coming to our birthday cake. Thank you.
When the world turns its back and it feels like we ain't, oh Lord,
you're more than enough.
When you're wounded and broken and needing a friend, oh Lord,
you're more than enough.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord,
you're
more than enough.
You are
wellspring of mercy and a fountain of love.
Facing defeat, oh Lord,
you're more than enough.
When your walls is all done, but the walls is retreat, oh Lord,
you're more than enough.
Reminding us again. You know what? After all said and done, Pastor Ade will go to his house. My wife will go to his house. All the leaders will go to their house. The Lord will stay with you. He's going to go with you home. Praise God. I'm not going home with you. I'm going with my wife. But above all, it's more than enough. Let's clap our hands for Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. And like my wife said, everything he said today just to encourage us to depart from iniquity for our own good. He wants to heal us. He wants to bless us. He wants to increase us. And for me, my favorite time of service is when we are going home. Because, number one, my work will stop. But above it all, the Lord will go on and accomplish these things in our lives. Tell your neighbor, I'm going with the Lord. This year, I'm going to different things with the Lord. I'm not going to be without the Lord. Amen? All right, praise God. It's time to do our birthday cake for all the Abiodons in our midst. If you are born in the month of January, and January, please stand up on your feet. Hey, why not? No Abiodun here. January, you're welcome, my sister. Anybody else? January. We like to cut cake in our church because it's the time to participate. You see, people think that this is a holy ground. Nobody should come over here. But every month, everybody comes to attend and stand on holy ground. Hey, guys, come, stand over here. Can we come out, everybody, that January? Please come. Let's clap for them as they come now. Let's clap for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy birthday. Please come in. Happy birthday. Okay, before you sing and all the noise, let's pray for them. Can you stretch forth your hands toward them? Let's pray for them. Let's pray that the Lord will keep, preserve, watch over them as they are entering another year of their life. Let's ask God to help them to live as belonging to the Lord. Let's pray the Lord to help them to depart from iniquity. Let's pray the Lord will help them to handle their health, their finances as we have heard today. Let's ask God to make them happy and joyful in the work of God's hands. Can you open your eyes, everybody? Let's pray one prayer for you. I saw this in Psalm 90. Let's open it. Can I get my Bible? Let's pray this prayer for people that are standing over here. You know, I love to listen to God while I'm praying. So I just saw this. And Psalm 90, let me read the verse. And we're going to pray this prayer for them. Just Psalm 90, a minute. Hallelujah. Just a minute. I'm almost there. Psalm 90. It says this, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Look at next verse. Look at next verse. Everybody, pray this prayer for them. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. I know as you stand over here today, you have seen certain things in your past that you don't like. Am I right? We are going to ask God that in the days ahead of you, God will give you more glad days in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Let's pray for them that they will have more glad days ahead of them. That God will satisfy and give them good days, better days that will erase the thoughts and the memory of the past evil days in their lives. Lord, whatever affliction, whatever disappointment, whatever pain, that the Lord will give them better days. Can you pray together with us at the front? Better days ahead of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing for them. Happy birthday. Can you come over here? All the children, go over there.
Happy birthday.
Okay, children.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
All right. Okay. Prophet Ade, we're going to help us again one more time. Look at the house gone. Okay, are we ready to cut our cake? Prophet Ade will tell you what to do to be saved. All right. Daddy, please come. Hallelujah. Third service, Shola, James, we are almost through.
Praise the Lord. Is anyone celebrating birthday today? Oh, so many. Move nearer, my sister. Please move near the cake. Stretch your hands to the knife. Please stretch your hands towards the knife, children. Stretch your hands to the knife.
That's for kids.
Please, let's extend our hands towards them. And the whole church will join you in praising the Lord. So when we, I'll ask all of us to praise the Lord for his goodness, where we shout hallelujah, and then please your cake, please cut the cake. Church, let's join them to exalt the name of the Lord for God's faithfulness in their lives, even now and in the future. And for this, we praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take your cake. Thank you. God bless you. Wait for your cake. Thank you. All right. Thank you. By the way, while they are giving their, taking their cake, men, all men in the house, we're going to start this year with not meeting in church, but Zoom meeting. At the end of this month, next Sunday, there'll be a Zoom meeting for all the men. They put it on your platform. And by the way, if you have not, can I get ushers quickly with papers? Ushers, papers. If you are not on the community of the church, RFC community, and you are coming here, we'd like to have your name, your WhatsApp number there. So if you want to have your WhatsApp number on the community, can I see your hands up? They can give you the paper. All right, thank you. Quickly, let's give them. You want to have your name there for the services and community, RFC community, so we can have you there. So we'll have that for us. As we close, thank you for coming to church. It is blessed. Broken and blessed. Bible said Jesus took the bread, broke it, blessed it, shared it. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. That's for the pastors. Is that the one? Thank you. If you know a pastor in town, and you have a friend who is a pastor, we want you to help us invite them for a program on Thursday. The last Friday or last Thursday of the month, we usually have a meeting here for pastors. They will eat, they will drink free of charge, and just be encouraged. So we'd like you to invite your pastor friend around you. So please lift up your hands. They will give you this paper, and you can help us give a pastor around you. Can I see your hands quickly? If you want to help us, give it to a pastor. Quickly, let's do that. Quickly. Our time is running. Thank you. Please, ushers, where are you? People are here. Help us at the front here. I need ushers more. Need more. Let's multiply ushers. Okay, quickly. All right. Let's round up there. Any other information? Okay, nothing else. By the way, somebody said, Pastor, I want to serve God, but I don't have time. Can I have something I can serve God on Sunday? Listen, you can join a prayer team on Sunday after the service like this. They meet in the church office. They pray for the service, pray for people in church for 30 minutes. You can join them if you don't have time during the week to join prayer team. If you come on Friday, we have another group that pray after the service on Friday. They pray at the back there. They pray for the Sunday service, pray for other things. So please, you can join them. We call that one on Friday, Caleb Force. We call this one Epaphras. You can join them and just pray. Hallelujah. Now, can we close? Tell your neighbor, it's time to close. Can I have some silence there? Please. I want to close. When Jesus was here, he never fought sinners. I'm rounding up. Jesus never attacked sinners. He helped them. He saved them. He touched their lives. But he attacked certain kind of people. Are we listening, everybody? He said, woe upon them. And what is their sin? What's their iniquity? Hypocrisy. Nothing is as bad to God as hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Projecting a cover, a picture of who you are not. Religious. That's why you don't see me. Everybody, are you listening? I don't have a particular kind of clothes, particular kind of set, particular kind of thing. I don't struggle. See, these Pharisees, they like to be seen. They like to be heard. They like to have the best seat. They like to be religious. They carry big Bible, big chain, do all those kind of things. And Jesus went after them. Why? Hypocrisy, trying to cover up, look as if you are normal, but you are not normal. So hypocrisy must be fought against. Don't try to project what you are not. Is that all right? Jesus will attack you back. Religious hypocrisy. Jesus hates it with passion. As a leader, as a pastor, as something, put that aside and live a servant life. You hear me? In your office, don't act as the boss. Don't push as the boss. Don't claim anything. Don't march around as if Jesus said, look here, come on. Calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. Yes, you are the head of the home. Don't go around, be bossy over everybody. That's hypocrisy. Calm down. Can I say this? Many of you are coming to church over here. You never see me acting like that, so don't act like that. Can be an example. My wife and I, we don't act like that. I sit down, listen, I'm not doing hypocrisy. Hypocrisy won't take us anywhere. For instance, hypocrisy is like this. You are fighting with your wife, and you hear a church member coming. But, praise the Lord. And then, you go toward the door, and then the person coming, and you are holding hand. Dear, please, let's welcome her. That's hypocrisy. Just for the sake. And if it's a good one, pour me, sir. Let's go home. Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Can we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Can you take your neighbor's hand and say, I pray for you this week. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you to live above all the troubles of this world. The Lord will encourage you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will uphold you. You will not fall. You will not fail. And you will see the hands of God in your life this week in the name of the Lord Jesus. Tell him, I wish you the best of God this week in Jesus' name. And I appreciate him for praying for you. Now, before we say surely, if you are here for the first time, I got some gift for you, some credits for your phone, but very small. Then we have some books that will really help you. The 7 Great Truth, the Financial Life is inside this box. So anybody, it's your first time in our church. Can I see your hands up? Your first time in our church. Anybody, God bless you. Anybody else, God bless you. God bless you. Take your bag and your Bible and go toward that door as you go. Let's just help us. Help me clap for them as they go. Let's clap for them. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Real good. God bless you, real good. God bless you, real good. Can you help them find their way quickly? Let's clap for them some more. Let's clap for them some more. When you came to, we clap for you when you came. Take your neighbor's hands. Say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Hold on. If it's your wife or your husband, take their home and go home with them. If it's not your wife or your husband, drop your hands and go home. quickly get out. We have next service. Praise God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Church. Second service people, we appreciate you as you are leaving the auditorium for us so that we can start that service. And if you know there is a vacant seat in front of you, kindly fill up the vacant seat so that it will help the ushers in coordinating those that are coming in behind to sit at the back. So let's just do that. If there's any vacant seat in front of you, please fill up those seats. I believe I'm saying the ushers' mind. So today on Purpose Driven Life, we'll be talking about becoming a world-class